You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
Since the day we met...
You okay?
I knew we would be best friends. Judith, there is a terrible haircut.
Whose is it?
You'll see it, but just don't look at it.
I found it so moving.
So bad! Thank you!
Here's to new adventures.
Yeah.
I still have my gloves.
Oh my God! Why are they shooting at us? Why do you have a gun?
Take the wheel.
What the hell?
Deb, I'm an assassin. I kill terrible people
for money.
What if I did it for free? I'd be a serial killer.
Let's get physical.
Who are these people?
Your husband stole millions from the mob. Now they're after you.
Please just trust me.
Trust you?
You guys are bringing really bad vibes.
Mm-hmm. We need passports.
Looks so real. Oh my God, it's British.
Can you do a British accent?
Hello, Governor. Would you like a spot of tea?
Don't speak, I reckon.
These aren't small-time thugs.
I can protect myself.
Fuck yeah!
She's the most important thing in the world to me.
Make a choice. Your friend or this organization.
We're going to steal your car.
So sorry, sir.
Bye.
What are you doing?
We have to get off now.
You ain't gonna, you ain't done.
You can do this.
I just jumped from a moving train and I'm alive.
Yes, he's alive.
Oh. Let's see how we're doing. Good old-fashioned Tuesday this time around. I hope it's going. Look, little things going up there. Hello.
Is it recording?
Yeah.
Can you hear us?
Absolutely. Hello and welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. My name is Dion and I am joined by Quinny and Jill.
Hello.
Yay.
And today we're doing a review of television.
Yes. We watched something.
An entire season.
An entire season with Bill Nighy.
Octavius. Not to be confused with Bill Nye.
No, not to be confused with
the science guy.
Bill Day.
Yeah.
Bill Day.
Sorry, this is a terrible joke. I mean, let's not detract. We've got Octavia Spencer. We've got Hannah Waddingham. We've got Bill Nye. We've got a bunch of other actors. We've got a Jeff Bezos-funded television show.
Yep.
Yep.
We've got Ed Skrein. A guy whose name is one that sounds very unpleasant to say, but you may or may not remember him from being the main bad guy from the first Deadpool movie.
Or you may remember.
Oh yes, Francis. Yeah. It's Francis.
You also may remember him from being in Game of Thrones and then deciding that he didn't want to be in Game of Thrones.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And then they got another guy, and everyone was like, "He's kind of hotter."
And everyone was like, "Okay, Ed, say ya."
Yeah.
I mean, he's essentially done what Stuart Townsend did in Lord of the Rings. You know, decided, I don't really want to be Aragorn.
Well, I mean, and also, who was the guy from Mission Impossible 2 who was going to be Wolverine?
Doug Ray Scott.
Doug Ray Scott was going to be Wolverine and then dropped out. He's like, fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In a long history of people who dropped out of things that they shouldn't have. Hi, Ed.
But look, it's never fair to say to judge someone for their acting roles because sometimes it just doesn't work out.
Hey, he's still working. He's got a job.
Yeah, he's in this thing.
Exactly.
He is.
And there's plenty of budget in this one, I got to say.
I think so. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. How did you guys come across this one? Because I saw like a trailer or something and I thought, that's an interesting looking movie.
Oh, yeah, it was giving cinematic vibes. I was like, oh, it's a film. I'm like, yeah, maybe. But my mum was actually the one that told me to watch it.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
my parents binged it quite early on and quite quickly. And she was like, you'd love it, Jill. You got to watch it. I thought, maybe.
I got to this one through WOM. It was word of mouth. It was like, hey, watch Roto Day. It's fun. And I was like, okay, I'll try and watch that. And then I watched the first episode and I was like, it is fun.
Yeah.
This is surprisingly good.
I was like, oh, fuck it. I got nothing else to watch. I'll try it. And I'm like, oh, shit. Okay, it's good.
Yeah. I saw the trailer and I thought, oh, that's an interesting looking movie. It did have that feel of like a Netflix original movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
It's like they've thrown a bit of money at it, but it still has that slightly televisual vibe. And then I realized, oh, hang on, no, it's on Amazon. Oh, and it's not a movie. It's an entire series. I was like, oh, okay. Also, fucking Hannah Waddingham. I would watch Hannah Waddingham fucking show up to pretty much anything.
And you can, because she can show up for anything.
I'd watch her watching paint dry.
I would, absolutely. And I do like this one because it really is that kind of thing that is, it's basically like her audition to play James Bond. Mm-hmm. And I'm 100% on board for that.
Sure.
Like, you know, if she was going to be suddenly Jane Bond, or, you know, I'd be all over it.
You know, Amazon's had a bit of a thing of trying to put, you know, a couple on a screen and have them do spy shit. Do we remember Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
Yes.
Yes.
A few other shows. But this one, I feel, is a refreshing change because it's a pretty simple conceit. But
yeah.
I think it's very lovely because of the two leads that we get to follow through. Plus, it's got a pretty good supporting cast, got to say, all around, pretty good.
Yeah.
And also, Hannah Waddingham gets to fucking do all the cool stunty bits or as much stunty stuff as she can, but gets to be real kick-ass and cool.
Yeah.
You listen to your friend Hannah Waddingham. She's really cool. She's a cool dude. Hmm. It's interesting, though, because... Like you sort of say a bit like Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And I like this one because it's almost that exact kind of True Lies, that kind of one person discovers that their significant other is in fact a spy and has been doing all this spy stuff. But in this case, it's not their love. It's not their partner. It's their best friend, their BFF. And I think that gives the whole thing a totally different vibe, and I'd really dig it. Yeah. I like that twist. I like that it felt like something completely different that we haven't actually seen anything quite like this before.
No. Mm-hmm. It's like that time I found out you were a Russian agent, Quinny. Oh, I wasn't supposed to tell people. Sorry.
Well, I'll see you at work tomorrow then, comrade.
What we're going to discuss, though, is what is Ride or Die about? I hope you've got some synopsis ready for us.
I do. It's very brief. I couldn't find a particular...
That's right. I don't have any music for you. There will be no music going over this, or maybe I'll put it in later. I don't know. We'll figure that out. But you got a suggestion for an accent? Jill, do you got any suggestions out of this?
Anyone
in the chat got an accent for Quinny for this one?
I mean, maybe British, I guess.
Well, could you do an American ham fisting a British accent?
Whoa,
all right, governor.
I'm kind of down for that.
Well, there's one vote there: posh British spy or excited Southern women,
or an excited Southern woman attempting to be a posh British spy.
Yes. Oh, okay, my star,
bad
guys.
British. Isn't that just Jason Statham? Yes, yes. What? Okay. Well, hi. Debbie discovers that her friend of 20 years, Jude, no, Jill's like, fuck no, just stop, just stop.
The needle is all over the shop, Quinny, pick a lane.
I was going for all over the shop. I was going for Southern woman who's pretending to be British.
You don't need to do the, what's the different places?
Debbie has discovered that her friend of 20 years, Judith, is secretly an assassin. After a hit goes wrong, they go on the run whilst being targeted by a mysterious enemy, forcing them to confront the secrets between them.
Hello, Austin. Yes.
Hello.
Yes, hello, yes. Austin.
Nice and simple, no fucking around. Don't think about it too much, Austin, and that goes for you too.
Yeah. Yeah, look, it's fun. It came out. It's this year. It's very recent. It didn't start... when did it come out? In July, yeah. So it came out last month on Amazon digital platform and is a television show. And, you know, basically I think it was a bit of a sleeper, really. I didn't see much marketing for it. But then, to be honest, to be absolutely fair, I haven't actually been watching Amazon too much since they decided that they were like, you're going to have ads. Or if you don't want ads, you're going to pay a bit more. And I'm like, okay, I didn't want any of that. I already pay for a subscription. Why would I pay to again more to not be inconvenienced?
Yeah. And we'll see how that court case with the ACCC goes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't forget about that. If you had a Amazon Prime subscription before they introduced ads at the same price, you may be entitled for compensation.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
If you want to call your lawyer, Quasar, I'm sure he'll be able to help
Quasar
you.
Quasar Law.
One thing that I found interesting is you were saying, Dion, that, like, you know, we're now in the realm of getting too many ads all the fucking time.
Yeah.
What was really interesting about this is that the first episode didn't have any. I watched this and I was like, oh, yeah, that's a really good. I'm on board for this. This is a fun show. And then the second episode, fuck me, running.
Yeah.
It was just like, it felt like every other TV show. But for some reason, I don't know why, but ads on a streaming service make me angrier.
Oh, yeah.
They make everyone angry. And, you know, it's exceptionally annoying because you're paying and then they're also getting money. So they're getting paid from both sides. You're paying for the service and then they're getting paid again in advertising revenue. So the only person making money is Jeff Bezos.
Mm-hmm.
So he can fire a giant penis rocket into the sky.
Yep.
Maybe to race against his mate Elon about who can throw a rocket at the moon again. Anyway.
Anyway, let's focus on something nice.
Ride or Die is good, though. It was originally a Skydance television co-production with Amazon. If you may not know, then that got bought out through the corporate stuff, and now it's Paramount TV. You gotta kind of wonder about all these things because you're like, oh, this group's making TV, and then this group, oh, where they've combined, and now it's just one group. It's one group, and all they make is this television. That's it. But it is refreshing because it has Octavia Spencer and Hedda Waddingham in the lead roles as two besties who have to deal with the fact that one of them is an assassin.
Mm.
Yeah. Interesting thing. One of the directors of at least two or three of the episodes is Andy Muschietti, the guy who directed the Flash movie. So we're not going to hold that against him. He also directed a whole bunch of the It films. So, interesting kind of
things. Jill, you're not selling Jill on this.
Good thing she's already watched it.
Okay.
There's no clowns in this one.
I can tell that because it does actually feel very cinematic and it does feel like a very long movie chopped up into smaller, more accessible pieces. Mm. Because I have to admit, even though it is a television series, it doesn't feel slow.
No.
It doesn't feel like it's dragging, like it's building to a couple of things. It has lots of twists and turns, but it feels like it ratchets along pretty quick, which is what you need for a television show.
Yes. Sorry, I'm going to have to walk back what I just said. Andy Muschietti was directed. It was slotted to direct two episodes. Ended up not doing. The person I was thinking of was Peyton Reed, who directed Ant-Man.
Right. Ah. Yes.
Yeah. Sorry. My apologies. I wanted to get that right because it's right here in front of me. And I did look at that name and I thought, oh, he's a pretty good director. Like, I mean, he made.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the first Ant-Man was a heist film, so like he kind of knows the genre and can kind of translate that into this spy action thriller.
I fucking really enjoyed it. Like, I'm just gonna put it out there right from the start.
Nice.
Really enjoyed it. I found myself really engaged with the characters. Our two characters are Judith and Debbie. and they've been friends for a very, very long time. Debbie is married to a politician who...
A boring like a British politician.
Yep, and seems like a complete piece of shit. And Judith is her cool, fun friend who she says is an accountant or something.
Forensic accountant,
yes. Yeah.
And, you know, part of the reason about why you want to engage with Debbie is because in the first episode she's married to this kind of boring politician guy, but then he decides he wants to divorce her and tells her that before they turn up to an event. And then that's what leads to the whole situation about
the shenanigans
roll from there.
Mm-hmm.
And it just gets more and more shenan.
Yeah.
It just goes, shenan and shenan.
Shenan then.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And so Judith works as a part of this very, very typical spy organization.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you've got a handler, you've got a quartermaster, you've got a man in charge for some reason.
Yep. Yeah, yep. And it's all very Bond-coded, you know. Let's not beat around the bush on that one.
Yeah.
You know.
It's just not MI5.
No, but I would say that all of the assassins and the spies, if you hadn't noticed, are female.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, which is rather good. And, it's a good enough sort of hook, I think, that we've got Hannah Waddingham, Judith, who is, you know, super spy, you know, you're kind of getting vibes of a little bit of Black Widow style training, you know, almost like, is it the Red House?
Red Sparrow?
Red Room.
Well,
oh my God.
A little
Red Sparrow was the J-Law one. Red Room is... the Black Widow program.
Hey, it's all about Russian spy women going out to assassinate people, as Quinny well knows. As a part of the communist plot to overtake the world, Quinny has been sleeper agented into his job in Sydney. Very clear to see. Okay. We all know. He's a big fan of...
a little too successful with my sleeping.
He's a big fan of borscht.
Yeah.
That's
no
how I
Russian
knew.
Ties in this one. It all seems to be
no.
It's just British.
It's just British, and then bad people, and then is it the Algerian mafia? I don't know. There's
yes. Albanians.
Yeah,
yeah.
I can't.
The Albanians. They want their money back.
Yeah, exactly. Like there's international mystery and intrigue, but that doesn't matter because at the heart of it, it's just about two best friends. One very conflicted and the other kind of less conflicted, but just more pissed off, but also conflicted. I don't know. Look, it's just
I was gonna say,
have a good dynamic.
I'm feeling like they're both fairly, fairly conflicted about various different things.
Sure. You've got someone who has a relatively boring life being thrown into this disarray, and then someone who has a quite exciting life trying to figure out if they can still maintain a friendship.
Yeah.
And what do those choices make? Anyway,
I would also call it like a coming of age story as well. And I don't mean in the sense of like puberty, but of being called a woman of a certain age.
Oh, sure, yes.
Because, the first episode, they're trying to push Judith out of the organization because she's turning 50, even though she's not 50.
Yes. Is it a coming of middle age story?
Yeah, a coming of middle age.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did love that because I don't know. Do you remember there's that sketch that I can't remember which comedians it was, but the whole this is your last fuckable day?
Oh, God. Oh, no, yeah. I don't know.
That was the Tina Fey one.
Yeah, I feel like it was Tina Fey and Amy Schumer or somebody else. Yeah. And they were like having drinks and mimosas and stuff for this particular actress who was now, today was her last fuckable day and everything after that, she was now going to be playing mothers and...
spinsters, hags.
Yeah, this does sound familiar. Actually.
And she was like, I'm 37. It's like, yeah.
Sorry, bad luck. Yep, that's it. You don't get any more. And I love that Judith, whilst, you know, having still being obviously one of the most successful spies out there, or not even spies, assassins. Like, let's make it abundantly clear, she is a straight up assassin. Mm-hmm. She's starting to act out and is kind of making decisions about how she kills people that are not to the benefit of the organization.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until quite a ways through it that I realized that one of the things that she doesn't do or doesn't like doing is shooting people. Like, you can go through pretty much the whole thing, and at any time that there is an option for her to take out a target by shooting or by doing it another way, she will always choose the other way.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Well, that's good, because shooting people is boring and not very filmic, and this show needs to have action happening, which is why they make her fight in a whole bunch of different, like, areas, including, I think, in the first, it's in the first one where they go through the kitchen and she beats the fuck out of a bunch of people in the kitchen. And I was like, that's a really good fight scene.
Yeah.
And that's really believable of all the things that she's doing. So you're right in sort of giving it that bit of contrast to, like, hey, we've done James Bond, but, you know, this is Jane Bond, and just as deadly and just as good. But
and also possibly tied into the longer plot as well, that, like, of course, she's an assassin. She's been dealing with some stuff. She's got some history. She's got some shit that is, you know, coming back to haunt her a little bit. No spoilers there. So as a part of that, maybe this is why she's chosen the things that she has chosen. I was pleasantly surprised when I realized that there was that extra level of depth there. And I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. Because it could very easily be a very surfacey kind of romp.
Yeah, because it's not really until a few episodes in that you do start to get this other layer that comes through. And it definitely kept me interested and kept me wanting to find out what was going to happen next. So, yeah, I think the different levels of it kept it entertaining over the, what was it, 8 episodes?
Yep.
Yeah.
And they're like 40 minutes each. They're quite long. But I think what I found really refreshing about it, and the thing that I liked, is because we had that comparison of, like, a James Bond kind of thing, but it's not really James Bond. And I like it in that way, because who is James Bond that we know? He's a womanizer, alcoholic, you know, MI5 agent, doesn't have any friends. This is a different perspective. It's female-centered, exactly the same capabilities, exactly the same kind of, you know, way they present that, but has friends, has relationships, knows how to maintain, doesn't have a lot, but I like that it focuses on those two different things. And that's the point of difference, that it was like, oh, this is a nice and refreshing and interesting story. She's not particularly, I mean, she's traumatized by her past. That's fine. But then you actually say, you see how she interacts with people. When she finds her people, she wants to keep that. And how does she move on? And exactly what you said earlier about facing that time of their life when they're perhaps being forced out for no good reason whatsoever, apart from just not, it's time for you to leave now. It's like, it doesn't have to happen. And that's what I just thought it was really interesting. It had a lot more to it than just what was on the surface. And it didn't just try and rely on that kind of, like, it's women. It's like, no, it's a good story.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And it's a worthwhile thing. It's a different perspective.
Yeah. Sorry. I really enjoyed the relationship between the two leads. Like, and I think it's a really powerful thing to actually have that work across all 8 episodes. We've seen an awful lot of TV shows on streaming that have been that kind of length, that 8 episode kind of length. And you get a little bit of a lull in the middle. You know, where it starts to drag, you start to sort of think, oh, that was a bit of a filler episode and stuff. I don't think I ever felt that once. And I found myself really wanting to kind of see where the characters continued to go with it. And Yeah, like their relationship is the key thing here. Like that's what we're all invested in. That's what we want for them to succeed with.
Yeah.
But there's a whole bunch of other relationships as well. Like, and characters that I really wasn't expecting to be around for as long as they were, that, you know, hung out for a fairly sizable proportion of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then others that didn't. hard to talk about without talking spoiler stuff, but
sure.
Yeah.
Look at it.
I just found it thoroughly, thoroughly engaging.
Good.
Yeah, I think it really caters to a lot of audiences as well, because like it's something that my mum would like to watch maybe sans action and still get an enjoyment out of watching like a female forward show about friendship and what that looks like in your later stages of life. But also it has something for my father, who loves action scenes and can get around watching like fights and stuff, even if it is with women. So I think it's got a bit of something for everybody. And it's something. Kind of like an interesting amalgamation to put those two kind of genres together, like action thriller and female friendship development. Like it's so...
Yeah.
So and, fun, yeah. But it's really different.
None of it feels forced.
No.
None of it feels out of place. Like even, you know, I think every decision by all of the characters feels honest. Mm. And that is difficult sort of balance to get. You know, not the smartest decisions in the world sometimes, and they throw stuff in there all the time that's a bit dumb. But sure, well, what are we watching here? You know,
yeah.
It's an assassin and a, you know, ex-housewife going on run through Europe.
Pretty much.
But a political mover and shaker at the same time.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Yeah, she's highly intelligent. She's an ex-lawyer and
absolutely,
you know, was basically running her husband's political campaigns
Has a great message about the soft power of the supporting partner in these things. It's like, yeah, sure, someone may be a political operative, but they didn't get there by themselves. You know?
Yeah.
It takes a lot of people to keep them uplifted that way, and they often get ignored, and that's part of this story, you know.
I was just going to say there's like amazing character development throughout the series for the two leads, but also the B characters that you have like around the leads. Like there's a lot going on with all of the other players that I found interesting as well.
Yeah. I thought it fascinating that here is a spy thriller or whatever, where, you know, there aren't many out there where your key plot lines would be involving around going antiquing or a book club. You know, and I think the fact that they can do that and go, yeah, this is a as you say, female forward story, and these are core parts of that story, but at the same time it doesn't feel ridiculous and it doesn't feel reductive.
No.
You know, we're not saying, well, you know, yeah, she's a badass assassin, but you know, she has to go to book club, or you know, she likes antiquing or whatever. It's like, no, that's actually a really important part of the story here and builds up those characters. And I was just like, there's some very smart writing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just good ideas activated quite well. Like, I mean, you know, another example is that hostel. Remember when they get trapped in the hostel?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that mobile phone women-oriented stalk, light stalking. Oh,
okay. Yeah. No, it's just
half an hour.
Just, you know, girls being girls.
Yeah.
You got to find someone. It's like, oh, but I only have this one photo of them. Like, can you help me? It's just like girl power.
Everyone,
what can a room full of 10 girls in a hostel do in the next 5 minutes to find someone you met at a club at 2 a.m. last night?
Bit of advice for any cis hetero guy out there. You're probably in a group chat somewhere. just get comfortable with that whole thing. It's like your name has been in a group chat somewhere.
And what's more, they know what you're doing more than you do.
Maybe they may or may not. I don't know. That could also be a stereotype. We don't need to know about that. What are we going to do about a rating then before we come back and talk with a bit more spoileries? Spoilery doos after this. Oh, what do you think? No?
Oh, no, no.
Have you watched it all? Did you get all the way through? Yeah. I think I've got two episodes left. I just ran out of time.
Oh, no, I finished it.
Yeah. Just smashed it?
Yeah.
Is it worth a bit of a binge?
Did the last two episodes just this weekend. Nice. Yeah, it was very good. And it kind of feels like they might be angling for another season, which I'd be happy about if they
100% on board for that.
Yeah.
There's no
There's no news
yet about whether or not, because it only came out in July.
There you go.
And it was backed by a company that's been absorbed by another company in a reshuffle, and Amazon may be competing with Paramount directly.
Oh no.
Fuck.
All right. Well, I'll cross my fingers.
Yeah, because honestly, like when I was doing a bit of hunting around for the synopsis, I saw an awful lot of things going, season two, when? Mm-hmm. Like it's obviously hit with people. It's you know, been a success, but that's the exact kind of fuckery that I hate when it's all, you know, the business side of it that might hold it back. Oh, God, that'd kill me. Okay. Fuck it. I'm going to go first. Why not?
Okay, go for it.
I reckon this is an 88 for me.
You stole the number right out of my head.
I was just about to sing a song and then went, hang on, that gets weird. Because I'm not kissing you and I'm not meatloaf.
No.
Yeah. I just think that this is probably one of the most pleasantly surprising new franchise type TV shows that's come out of nowhere, has two stars that I think are incredibly watchable, and fully believable in the roles that they're in, and a bunch of supporting cast who are absolutely given their A game, even Bill Nighy.
he's just doing his good old Bill.
Oh, he's just billing it.
I mean, he did all of his most acting, I guess, in the Pirates of the Caribbean films, and then he just kind of was like, I'm Bill Nighy now.
Yeah.
I don't need to try harder anymore. I'll just be
it. Jill's like, when was he in Pirates of the Caribbean? He was Davy Jones.
He's Davy Jones, the tentacle face. Squid man. It was really good.
Even
the CGI on that was amazing.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, 88 from me. If you have seen it, also please drop things in the chat just so we can add your numbers up. But who's next?
Well, I give it an 88 as well.
Sweet.
Queenie mind read me.
I did. Sorry.
You're mind reading. I was going to give it 80, but I might give it 8 more points just for the sake of just being square. There you go.
And as we know, it's hip to be square.
Yeah.
It's totally.
All okay. right.
That's made the scoring real easy, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely. There you go. All right. Let's go have a little look at a clip and then we'll come back.
Judith, what are you doing?
You look incredible.
Are you drunk?
No way. I've never been more sober.
Oh, no. Is that tequila?
Mm.
Oh, no.
I'm a new woman.
Come on.
I can do anything I want.
Listen, I got to tell you something about David.
I got to tell you something about David.
Oh, it's been the worst day. The worst day.
Keep an eye.
I stood in my truth. I stood in my power.
Did you?
Not for myself.
Good girl.
You would have been
for a whole time, too.
I got to tell you what happened.
We're in the taxi, and I'm reading David my notes I made about the water in the scale.
Because you know how I like my notes.
You know what he doesn't appreciate? How hard I work on the notes, how hard I work on that cabin.
He doesn't appreciate what I do.
Take it back.
You'd be so
Take
proud of me, though. I stood up for myself. And you know what was money. Like, what does that even mean? You know, we are really power walking today, getting our steps in. I can't believe you're here.
There you go. A little bit of the old 1-2 punch there from Hannah Waddingham in a fabulous dress and outfit.
That dress, my God.
And that's only the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
It gets even... They
drop a couple of pretty fucking spectacular dresses on her. Throughout.
I am just in love with her.
Yeah. And I love that... I saw an interview with her where she was talking about the fact that she loved that in this she was allowed to, nay, encouraged to wear heels.
Mm.
Because so often, because she is a tall lady, they put her in flats because they don't, you know, they don't want her to tower over whoever the co-star may be. In this, they're just like, no. You're it. You're the star. Go.
Yeah. There isn't another, a man to be diminished for on this, which I think is really good. Also funny, a little bit of trivia. Do you know that Hannah Waddingham emigrated to Australia?
Oh, I did not.
In 2012. And then went back pretty soon afterwards because she scored a gig in Les Mis. But there was a brief time there where she was Australian.
Fuck.
That would have been fucking amazing.
And then we lost her. She went back.
Come back, Hannah. I want to marry you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I first saw Hannah Waddingham and like first noticed her in the TV series Krypton.
Oh, yeah. She was good in that.
Yeah. She was this badass fucking Kryptonian general with only one eye. And I was like, I don't know who that woman is, but she is fucking like owning every scene she's in.
Do you mean Jax-er?
She was Jax-er. That's correct.
Well, now I've got to go and watch fucking Krypton.
Krypton.
Yeah.
Do I, though?
It wasn't bad, actually. It was a pretty good show.
It was surprisingly good. Got two seasons, and it was, like, ramping up to being something really quite interesting, and then they fucking shit-canned it.
Yeah, they capped it.
Because it was on Sci-Fi Channel.
Look, it's fine.
Anyway. Yeah. Spoilers. So, spoilers. Bits.
Wait, I got to put the spoilery logo up. Apologies. Yeah. There we go. Bit of spoilers.
Quinny's doppelganger was in this show.
Which one was my doppelganger?
Bill Bailey.
It's green. Oh. Oh, look, we've got Timu Bill Bailey.
No, they had Timu Bill Bailey. Bailey.
Yeah. It's so weird seeing Bill Bailey without the long hair.
Yeah.
Every time I'm just like. He's a bit like Samson. I think they've cut away his power.
Oh, he's coming back to the shores. If you're worried about that too, this year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I wasn't, but now I am.
I think I've got tickets to it. That's the reason. Lovely. I was like, oh yeah, it's Bill Bailey.
He's very funny. I really loved, like, there's a secondary plot that runs through this that's all about essentially the backup characters. There's The person who makes all of the travel documents, so the visas and stuff.
Fake passports.
And they're also kind of, they're essentially the Q character. Mm-hmm. Like, they do all the weaponry and stuff. And there's a secondary plot line. Yes, Queenie is the character's name. And that's why I love her, because it sounds like me. But no, I thought that was a really, really interesting kind of second plot that was just kind of running along in the background, which I felt gave those characters a lot more to do, because it'd be very easy for them to just kind of disappear, like, you know, do a couple of scenes and then fuck off. But her name starts with Q. But yeah, I really enjoyed those characters, and then you finally get a bit of a resolution on that. You're like, oh, okay, nice.
Yeah.
There's intergenerational trauma.
Yeah. I think for something to be that successful, it needs to have more than just one plot line to follow. Because you do have such a large cast of characters, and you want to fill 8 40-minute episodes, you need a bit of substance to keep the interest going. So, yeah, it was nice to see... the side characters having something to do. So, you know, we've got like this one storyline of the husband embezzling money from an Albanian gang and what that looks like when they come to collect. But then the subplot of, oh, actually there's another assassin that's out there that's been hard done by Judith. and is coming back for revenge. And so you have all your other characters trying to take care of that part of the plot.
Yeah. And that whole thing about Judith not shooting anybody, that ties into that plot. And this is proper spoiler territory. I'm pretty sure the last time she shot anyone was that other assassin.
Right. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, there's that trauma thing of going, oh no, I've killed my best friend or whatever. That whole plot line had a bit of a Killing Eve kind of vibe to it.
Yeah.
But yeah. But also different enough.
But like, it was fun. It felt a very British production funded by Americans. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So like I know it's Amazon Prime, but it feels like a British show. It has a little bit more of that attention to detail about the creation of sort of stuff. It's not really got a lot of filler there. It's not afraid to talk smartly to its audience and go, keep up, come on. You know?
Yeah, I never once felt like this was telling a dumb story. You know how there are some things where you're like, oh, God. I don't think I ever rolled my eyes at this once.
So why would they go to Albania? I don't even know where that is on a map. You know, just none of that sort of stuff.
Mm. There was one character that I was quite surprised by how invested I got in them. So what did we think of Ed Skrein's character, Billy?
Oh, I actually really liked him.
I know,
I really
right?
I enjoyed him. And I don't want to ruin it because Predakenga hasn't seen the whole thing and he's still here in the chat. So, like, we are toy spoilers, but I don't want to ruin the whole thing. But I really was enjoying him so much. And
I thought he was a great character.
Shit.
He's definitely someone that did appear.
Shut up, Dion.
But yeah, like he was a character that initially I was like, okay, we're setting up. Like, and this was probably one of the more interesting turns, actually. We set him up as being potentially like a big bad guy, like one of the characters that he's going to constantly be chasing them, hunting them down.
Yeah,
and, you know, has a whole like little gang of offsiders, and you think he's going to maybe fucking send the Albanians after them or whatever.
Yeah, double cross them, you know.
Yeah. All the way through, you're kind of thinking that. But then, like, something happens partway through, and I'm fascinated to know whether it was in the writer's room. They just went, hang on, we kind of like this dude.
Yeah. how we could kind of make him likable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we want him to stick around, and we're kind of rooting for him as potentially a bit of a love interest or something. And you're like, fucking what?
This is the show is good. It cracks along. It keeps moving just enough for you to go, oh, maybe. Okay, maybe I'd go this way rather than just that kind of thing. Don't worry too much about Ed Skrein, though. He's going on to the God of War TV show, so he's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hope he doesn't break his arm or anything.
I also enjoyed when they brought in the Interpol characters.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I'd almost forgotten them.
I liked the tall, dark, and handsome detective that started to take an interest in Debbie, and I thought that was a cute little side story that was going on there as well. Trying to protect her from the Albanians and help her with her husband and all that kind of jazz.
Mm. Also an interesting thing that this is one of those series where you're like, okay, now you've got faith in your audience, that you've got quite large sections of the show that's fully in French.
There were subtitles.
Yeah, yeah. And I was watching it going, this is, to me, what made it feel more like either a British show or something, or not a purely American production, is that when they're in other countries.
Oh, yes, it was very European.
Yeah, like people are speaking entirely in other languages. Your Interpol is mostly French.
Yeah, they weren't speaking in English with French accents.
Like, no.
They spoke French.
They weren't doing it the right way, though. They weren't all smoking and just taking four-hour lunch breaks.
Smoking baguettes.
Yeah. They weren't just smoking and taking four-hour lunch breaks and having a bar of chocolate and doing things that are cool.
You know, we'll have a look at the body later.
Yeah, it's time for a scheduled lunch break of 3.5 hours.
Yeah. I'd actually forgotten that whole secondary plot line of the Interpol. But it's not even a secondary. That's almost a tertiary plot.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. And yeah, you've kind of got all of this stuff that's the assassin story, where like the organization of the assassins and all of the terrible or not so terrible things that Bill Nye and that group did. And then you've got the assassinations that are happening all throughout Europe that they're trying to follow. And at the same time, you've got this really core backbone, which is a trusting relationship that has been broken between two, you know, loving women. And I really liked that thing that it wasn't just, you know, your typical buddy cop thing where it's like, oh, okay, well, we're thrown together into the action, so we just have to get on with it and learn to trust each other again. There was a fairly sizable amount of the show where it's like, I don't fucking know who you are. You know, you've been lying to me for a very long time, and I now have to reevaluate every experience that I've ever had with you. And that must be terrible for you, Dion, knowing my... My spy history.
Dark comrade. When...
You're a sleeper too.
Yes, I went to the Belarus training school. No. Like, I mean, I'm just trying to say, like, there was only one thing that was very unbelievable for me in this.
Okay.
I mean, but again, picking out
it was Bodhi the hot Aussie.
Yes, it was the hot Aussie. It's just like, now we're going to bang in the shower. And I'm like, really? That's not going to happen. Sorry.
I don't know.
Why not, Dion? This is a female fantasy story.
But firstly, that is not an Australian person. Like, that is
was the least believable part.
I'm like, wait, he was Australian?
Like,
yeah.
He looks like every fucking dickhead on a Contiki tour. I mean, they could have just made him South African or something. It would have been much more believable rather than just like, oh yeah, I'm just really in touch with everything and I'm down to earth and really good looking. Like,
also, Bodhi's not an Australian bogan name.
No,
it's not a bogan name. It is the name of a few surfers, but...
You could have just if you'd called him Keith and he was a chippy and he's just over there for 6 months trying to get laid, I would have been like, sure, I believe that.
Yeah. Australian representation was a little bit off on this.
Or Dazza. Yeah. Something stupid and shit.
Yeah.
Like, what's your name? Bodhi. It's like, no.
No. If Bodhi's too cool.
Yeah.
Not a Bodhi.
Yeah.
No.
Either Benno or some bullshit. And also, where are the six other mates that are hanging around? There's no single one only Australian guy like hanging out in a weird Albanian fucking hostel where there is a room.
I think they're in Spain, bro.
Spain.
Yeah, I think they're going to be in Spain.
Yeah. Didn't I say that? Spanbanian? Sure. Spanbanian.
Spanbanian.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I will give you that concession. Bodhi. Nah. Sorry.
Nah. But I mean, you know, whatever. We just move on with that from that. It's fine. We've got other stuff. I mean, also having the hapless handler from the the show.
Yeah.
I believe that. He's just kind of like, he doesn't know how he got there. It feels like there's a weird meritocracy where he was just born into privilege and gets to have that job and is a bit shit at it.
Mm-hmm. So he wasn't born to it. He like was a thief, a car thief who they picked up off the street.
I know, but it had the vibe to it.
Right. He didn't
go through the same training as the girls though, because he's pretty useless.
No.
Yeah, clearly.
Also, and, surprisingly, I mean, jacked IT guy. Because that's basically what he is. He's just a guy on the phone.
Yeah, sure. There's lots of tropey shit that is you know, on display here and there. Like, you know, there's a bit of Kingsman, there's a little bit of fucking James Bond, there's a little bit of, Black Widow. Like, they're clearly using a little bit of shorthand.
Yeah, and I mean, it works for a reason.
Exactly, yeah. And I think it actually is a really useful bit of shorthand because it means that we're not going, how does this organization work?
Yes, exactly.
What's the structure here? What's the organization mean? We're just going, okay, right, it's stand in red room.
You have to have a point of entry. Yeah.
Because what we're focusing on is Debbie and Judith.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Judith trying to work out how she can keep her best friend safe.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time being told by her organization, you're not allowed to have friends. Mm-hmm. Because that's a real problem.
Yeah.
And at the same time, having Debbie being like, you're not my friend. You've been lying to me for the whole fucking time.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This is not cool. And I haven't read the book for book club this week.
I liked it. I thought it was good. I would like to see them do a season two. I'm happy if they just decide they're going to do one season, like a one and done. It's fine, but it's a good time. And, you know, you can watch it with your friends and then look at them and be like,
whatever you told me.
Yeah. Yes. If you've got a group of friends and one has the most boring sounding job, just look at them and go, maybe. And I don't know, throw a knife at them just to test.
I'll let you
I'm
guys
not coming
in.
Into work tomorrow, Dion.
I'll let you guys in on a secret. All best friend groups, no girls know what the other does for work. I'll tell you now.
I don't know what
none of us know what the others do for work.
No.
But we do know they're really good at it.
Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely certain of that fact.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right. But you also know who they're dating and what's going on in their life.
But we don't know what you do for work, but we know that you're very good at it.
Yeah, exactly. And this is kind of the thing that you kind of want sometimes in your relationships is like, who is that person? Oh, I don't know. They do something in finance. And then you turn out like they make $40 million of deals every day and they just talk in numbers that you don't understand. You're like, shit, you've got like a responsibility and stuff. But you were blacked out in the bathroom last week.
Yeah.
That's my relationship with you. You know. Yeah.
But also I love that ride or die thing of as the name would indicate, but we know that they're good at it.
Because
we trust that they're good at it.
This is my bestie.
Yeah.
My ride or die.
Yeah. Yeah. I see in the chat Tara is like, oh, this is sounding good. I might have to give it a watch. Yes. Yay. Absolutely. I'm glad that we could bring you around on this because I honestly think this is one of those happy, like it's the kind of thing you could accidentally stumble onto, you know, just turn it on and be like, oh yeah, that's Hannah Waddingham. She's quite good. Octavia Spencer. She's fucking great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll watch that. And then be shocked when you go, oh, it's 8 fucking episodes. Christ. And you'll have a good time through all 8.
Well, I very much hope so. Speaking of good times, what are we doing next week?
We're doing the end of Oak Street.
We are at the very special time of Wednesday next week.
Yes.
Not Tuesday, yes. Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yes. Adjust your calendars as required.
Accordingly.
Now, I hope you've all done the census.
Oh, yeah. Yes. It's also census night. Don't forget to get out there and do the census.
And for everyone, jump on the internet.
You do it on the internet, fill out a paper form, and anyone
whatever
who wants to complain about it, Jesus Christ, you give more fucking information over to other private companies that sell your data. I'm happy to give accurate information to the government.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
not the
if you've
ABS.
Got a driver's license and a Medicare card, you're already being tracked, babes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Good. That's actually true to point out, Quinny. Yes, it goes to the ABS. The Bureau of Statistics?
Yes.
They're pretty much impartial. They're just going to accumulate the data and present it. Sure, politicians may do dumb things with it.
But it's important that they have a reasonably accurate representation of the country so that they can make their decisions and do dumb things with accurate data.
Sure.
Yeah. Pauline wants to know how many of us are immigrants. So fill that out.
Yeah, because all of her talking points, the reason she doesn't like the census is because of all of her talking points fall down when presented with data.
Yeah.
Actual data. Immigration has gone down, Pauline. Oh, well, you're just letting too many people in. It's been going down.
Going down.
Like we also let the white ones in too, Pauline.
Yeah. Oh, well, they're fine.
Sure.
And Karina says data is also more used by local councillors too. Like, that's the thing. Good census data is used by fucking everybody. Like it's incredibly valuable data.
Sure.
And
helps organizations know where to send money to.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or also go, hang on a second, we have four times the population as our water supply can accommodate.
Maybe we don't put that data center in.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Wouldn't that be nice?
Anyway, if anyone wants to
actually, and this is something...
a data center with me, let's go to Balcom Hills.
Also, interesting thing that I noticed this year, because I did it just a little while ago, this year, last time, the question of religion, they had atheism as a religion, and that was a bit of a data sticking point, because that by saying that atheism was a religion, it was indicating that more of Australia was religious than, in fact, it was. This time, they've got that clearly separated out.
Sure.
Which I was like, good, because...
And look, technically speaking, if you do the paper form, it isn't registered to a particular person. I mean,
exactly. It's semi-anonymous.
It's once every 5 years, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
Not that big
a
deal.
TikTok knows a lot more about you.
True. And they will sell shit to you.
Yep.
100%. Yep. Anyway, enough of conspiracy theorists.
Yes. So... next week, end of Oak Street. It's dinosaurs. It's Ewan McGregor. It's
dinosaurs.
Anne Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway. And I think it looks like it could be a lot of fun. I got it confused for a while because you watched a film on the weekend, Jill.
I did.
And I thought that's what this was.
Oh, no.
So what's the one that you watched?
I watched a film called The Last House.
On the left, just
just The Last House. It was interesting.
Okay.
It was interesting. It was a little bit quiet place, but with rain.
It's a quiet place, but with rain.
And you can't leave the house. I don't know. It was weird. It was weird. But you know, as we were saying with like Ride or Die, it's like we had moments of foreign language with subtitles and nothing was like spoon fed to us. This movie was very definitely, maybe people aren't watching it. So when somebody's holding up a chalkboard trying to talk to someone in the house across the road, they're going to say everything that's on the board.
Just in case we know that you're double or triple screening it.
Yeah.
So
I was like, oh, great. I don't have to put the phone down. He's just going to tell me what he's asking the neighbors. Cool. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. For some reason, I remember seeing both of the trailers at a similar time. So I got it slightly confused in my head. And I thought that that Last House thing was like they're hiding the house away from dinosaurs.
Oh, no.
No.
I wouldn't rate Last House, guys. Maybe don't watch it unless you're truly bored.
I have been enjoying watching Silo season 3.
Yeah.
That has actually been good. Like more shit's happening. I'm like, oh, great.
Yeah. Should I give it another go? Should I watch season 3?
It's doing the time skippy thing where it's like pre whatever collapse of humanity.
Oh, okay.
As well as what's going on in the silo, and it moves quite rapidly. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is kind of what we were after. Like season 2 was a bit dull. At least this one feels like it's going somewhere.
Okay. Well, yeah. I've already put the time. It's that cost sunk. What's that called?
Sunk cost fallacy.
Thank you. I've already put the effort in. I've done 2 seasons.
Don't worry, Jill. If it gets boring, you can just go back to C.
I'll never go back to C.
No. Hey, the evil assassin person who's hunting Hatter Wannington in Ride or Die was the main evil bad woman from C. Yeah, I know, right. There's a link there, see? I wasn't just making shit up.
Okay.
Well, I won't cancel the Apple TV just yet. I'll watch Silo and I'll watch Ted Lasso.
Silo, Ted Lasso. You got a couple of pretty good reasons.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been catching up on Caped Crusader. Very interesting.
Please call him by his legal name, Quinny.
Really struggled.
Batman.
I really struggled with this series, Quinny, because of the fucking ads.
Oh,
it's a 20-minute episode, and they put an ad break in the middle, and they don't time it. They're just like, "Oh, you're having a conversation? I'm putting an ad in right now." And I'm like, I couldn't watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was like, so that is in fucking infuriating. I agree.
Mm. What's it? What's like, it on?
Amazon. Yeah.
And it's annoying as hell because it's beautiful. Like it's Bruce Timm style Batman.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's good.
It's like, it could so easily just be another season of Batman, the animated series.
Yeah.
But for adults, there's a lot more violence. There's a lot more blood and stuff. But yeah, those ads are fucking.
Fuck you, Amazon.
Yeah.
Like, put one at the start that you can't skip. That's fine. But like, not in the middle when like a character is talking. Yeah. And then you have to come back and you're like, well, they were in the middle of saying something. And now we have to, maybe we're not starting over. We're just continuing. I'm like, I don't remember.
Put that in your census. It's the inshittification of things.
Yeah.
What has been inshittified in your census recently?
Yeah. I did see somebody sent me a picture of somebody found a Mars bar that somebody had in their house from like 1998. Yeah, still give it a go.
I need it.
Yeah. And the difference just to look at them was pretty fucking stark. Like, just from
shrinkflation.
60, yep. 62 grams of whatever down to about 51.
Yep.
Damn.
And if you want to go down another darker rabbit hole, hey, just start looking up the brands that are using lab grown chocolate, which you should start avoiding probably now.
Ooh.
Yeah. Because they're like, well, real chocolate's expensive and we have to get it from places where ethically it may not be. Oh, we'll just make it in a lab. It's like, that's not, it also doesn't look right and doesn't melt properly. Have you ever wondered why a flake doesn't melt?
I never did.
Yeah, exactly. Now you're going to, now there's a whole bunch of conspiracy theories. Get my tinfoil hat.
Sure, but they also say that there's like, is it like wood chips or whatever in shredded cheese so it doesn't stick together?
Oh.
Yeah.
I believe that, but some wood chips are delicious.
Yeah, I love my wood chips in my Parmesan.
Obviously, I saw someone, like you were talking about, Jill, with the Mars bar thing. Oh, sorry, yeah, the Mars bar thing, but someone had held up a cheese stick thing and they're going, they're not just doing it like slow, like they're slowly trying to do it, which is like one was a good 2 centimeters shorter than the others in the packets that they're going, and they're like, they're just seeing how much that you can accept, and they'll slowly phase out the old one and just make it, the standard is now the smaller.
Yeah.
Fuck anyway, the cheese sticks.
Fuck the cheese sticks.
Fuck the cheese sticks.
Thank you. Okay, you can't get enough Dungeon Crawler Carl. All right, I haven't finished the book yet. Sorry. Still haven't finished.
It's okay. You finished that one. That's the main thing.
I'm still in the parade of horribles.
Right. Thank you so much for joining us. You are a lovely bunch, as always. And to all of the rest of my lovely people on this stream with me, I love you. You're wonderful.
Yeah.
Love you, Gwynnie. Love you, chat. Enjoy the rest of your week, everybody.
Yeah.
It's a good.
Do something nice for yourself. Something good weekend. Oh, what are you doing, Jill?
Sorry, yeah. What are you doing?
I'm going to Oz Comic Con in Canberra.
Yeah.
So if anyone's going to be down there in Canberra, hopefully Casper, I'll see him.
I was going to say, I know Casper's a Canberran, but he's not here tonight.
No, he's not. But where's the submachine gun? He usually pops into the event. So hopefully he's not working and I'll run into Casper. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Hope you get a sub for him.
Yeah.
I'll be cosplaying from Project Hail Mary and look.
There it is.
I got the Rocky. This is a group project. I'm waiting
for Karina to lose her shit now.
This is a group project. Dion and Quinny have been printing for me and I painted Rocky on the weekend.
This is a test bed, by the way. The real Rocky is bigger.
Oh, yeah. This was just for this weekend. But if you see me at Sydney Oz Comic Con, I will have a life-size Rocky soon.
Yeah. Amaze.
Yes. With real eating action.
Oh, God, I hope not.
Oh, dear, that's a joke. I'm not going to do animatronics for sure.
No.
Oof.
All right.
Yes. Fist my bump, indeed.
Thanks,
have a great weekend.
Yeah, come see Jill if you're in Canberra or want to go.
Otherwise, see you next week.
See you on Wednesday. See you next Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday next week, everybody.
All right.
Take care.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.